Christy draped the reins over the pommel of her saddle.
Sell you these others, though. Food and good beds for a week?
Amused, Thayer looked over the red-haired beauty. He had thought she was only Ryan's bed warmer, but now he saw she carried a blaster. Odd folks, these outlanders. A memory tickled the back of his brain. Something about strangers with fancy blasters. But these folks had only flintlocks, so it couldn't have been about them.
Keep the horses. I'm offering food and good beds for a month. That's what I pay as reward to anybody who aces 100 cannies and saves my men from the pot. Food and beds, or 3 full pounds of black powder. Your choice.
An old man dropped his pipe, and the crowd gasped at the incredible offer, unable to believe what they were hearing. Ryan eased his stance and offered a hand.
We'll take the food and beds.
Agreed, Blackie.
They shook on the deal.
Mitchum, take these folks to the grotto and tell Sal they're my guests. And after they're fed, bring them to the palace for drinks. Got some coconut wine that'll melt a cannonball. And I'd like a talk with folks who have seen other islands.
Yes, Baron.
Colonel Mitchum snapped a salute. Just then there was a shuffling in the crowd, and the people parted to admit a burly officer.
Just a second there, dead man.
Colliers.
Mitchum drew his blaster. The rest of the sec men did the same, and the cocking of hammers sounded like tree branches snapping in the sudden quiet.
You were gone for a week. Now I'm the sec chief in this ville.
Colliers stabbed his chest with a thumb.
Ain't just gonna roll over like a gaudy slut and give it back to a feeb who let cannies catch him.
Mitchum's weapon neither moved nor wavered.
A fight to the death, then. Not first blood, but a chilling. No quarter, no rules.
Fine by me.
Colliers pulled a blade with lightning speed.
No rules at all?
Agreed.
Calmly, Mitchum raised the flintlock. The 75 mini-ball punching a round hole in the other man's face blew out the back of his head, spraying bones, brains, and blood over the crowd. Most of the people broke ranks and ran. Only a few stayed to watch more. Mitchum slowly holstered his smoking weapon.
Only a triple stoop would agree to no rules when you got a loaded blaster pointed at your guts.
Wondered how you two would settle this.
Baron Thayer waved away the cloud of gun smoke.
Was going to make it a formal match, in the pit, with no weapons but bare hands. Don't have to do that now.
No, sir.
Mitchum smiled.
Private, drag the body to the cliff and toss him into the sea. But keep the boots and that blade. We'll give those to the sec man we take on to fill his place.
I'll do it.
A teenaged boy stepped forward.
Want to be a sec man? Kill me some pirates.
Baron Thayer arched an eyebrow, but Mitchum looked the boy over closely. He was barefoot and dressed in a piece of canvas, crudely stitched into shapeless clothing. His face was gaunt, but the teen stood a good head above the rest of the crowd, and his hands were gnarled weapons of grisly scars. Good food would fill in a solid muscle, and the Ville would have a useful chilling machine in their fighting ranks.
Name?
Sams. Virgil Sams, sir. I live down by the docks, in the Dolphin Cove with the—
Shut up! Never waste an officer's time with horse shit, boy. Now help dispose of the body. And remember, Colliers was a stoop, but also a sec man. He gets full honors and prayers before going to Davy. You'll taste the lash if I hear about you missing a single word. Get me?
Aye, aye, sir.
Virgil shivered, but saluted. Sergeant White smacked the boy in the back of the head.
Hey! Sailors say that, Drek, not sec men. Now salute your baron and get to work.
The fledgling sec man shakily gave Thayer a salute and held it until the baron returned the gesture. Then a couple of the other soldiers joined the boy and helped drag the dead man away, leaving a gory trail in the dusty ground. The baron tucked thumbs into his belt.
Waste of a fisherman, that boy.
Pulling out a pouch, Mitchum reloaded his blaster.
Just green, that's all, my lord. Started off that dumb myself.
Your call, then. First time he fucks up that latch for him.
The baron then gave Ryan and his crew a long look, as if somehow they were involved in the fight, then turned his back and started to walk up the street toward his palace.
Sharp move.
Mitchum closed the pouch by pulling on the drawstring with his teeth, then tucked blaster and ammo away.
Not really. Collier's always had a tough time controlling his temper. That made him a bad commander. Bastard had to die, for the sake of the Ville.
Ryan filed that information away. There was a lot more to Mitchum than was readily apparent.
But now that he's gone, I'm in charge again.
The colonel grinned as he freed the reins of his mount and passed them to a private.
Put her in the stable, and have them give her a good rubdown.
Yes, sir.
The sick man started off with the animal in tow. It followed placidly, waiting to be beaten or fed, whatever was the choice of its new masters. Then Mitchum slapped Ryan on the shoulder.
Come on, let's get some chow. Don't know about you folks, but I'm starving.
Dean rubbed his stomach.
Hot food sounds good.
Could do with a bite.
Taking his own horse by the reins, he began leading it down the street of the Oceanville.
Also got a gaudy house.
He brought his own.
The officer broke into a grin.
No offense meant.
None taken, this time.
Walking their horses down the street, the companions found that between the trailers were tiny plots of farmland, set out in neat squares, edged with brick, and covered with oily canvas supported by rusty poles.
Protection from acid rain.
Before they sailed away, Mildred had to find out what the locals used to coat the canvas. That was info she could trade to vills across the Deathlands and help save a lot of lives. The public latrine was far from the wells, and noisy chickens were in a bamboo coop behind a woven wicker fence. Big dogs were on rope leashes before a lot of the trailers, and there were no slaves in sight. No decomposing bodies hung from torture poles, or any of the things they normally found in a vill.
Nice place.
Doc rested his ebony stick on a shoulder. The Sword King was too long to hide easily in their bedrolls. Besides, there was no reason anybody would think it wasn't just a support for the old man.
Best in the world.
Since the colonel had never seen Front Royal in Virginia, Ryan held his peace and let the man enjoy the fantasy. Leaning out of a second-story window, a beautiful girl allowed her robe to gap open in front and expose a lot of cleavage. Several men passing by on the street took notice, but there was no reaction from the strangers walking with their horses. Still, they were new, and that was nice. The gaudy slut smiled at the prospect of meeting outlanders, and for a moment, the twin tips of her forked tongue darted into view. She could almost taste them already. Then the boy in the group glanced her and gasped. She smiled gently, letting her robe part to expose her perfect breasts. A knock on the bedroom door made her turn away, and in walked a grisly sec man and an old skinny woman, the madam of the gaudy house.
There you go, Lieutenant. You pay for this.
The soldier exhaled in admiration.
Oh, fantastic.
The slut by the window had the figure of a nubile young girl barely in her teens, but when she turned, there was the face of an adult. Long black hair reached to her knees, and her shape was something out of a pre-dark girly mag. He'd been saving a long time for this. She cost a lot, and only the Baron had her on a regular basis. But now that the sec man saw her, he knew she was worth it for looks alone. And if the tales were true about two tongues, one in her mouth and the other elsewhere, this was going to be one hell of a ride. Sure, she was a mutie, but he wasn't here to breed with the slut, just bed her. Impatiently, he slapped the pouch of black powder into the old woman's hand.
Well, I'll take her for the whole day.
Oh, that'll cost more than this.
The madam could hear the sound of raw lust in a man's voice. He'd pay all he possessed to have the girl just once. The lieutenant turned on the madam and drew his blaster.
Going back on our deal?
The madam shrugged in response and walked out of the room. She had tried. That was enough.
Come here, girl.
Lucinda.
Come here, Lucinda.
Chuckling to herself, she padded across the room, dropping the robe to expose her flawless body. Her breasts swayed at each step, and she mentally commanded her areoles to tighten. The sick man began to rip off his clothes, buttons scattering across the bare wood floor. As their eyes met, his expression softened from lust to love, and she decided to pleasure the fool all the way, in every way, then more, and make him her absolute slave. Already her brethren had taken over a vill to the south. Now she would start the process again here. One day, the sisters would own all of the vills, and the humans who created the Skyfire would be purged from the new earth. It was only a matter of time. On the street, Christie shivered and glanced around quickly. Ryan noticed, a hand snaking inside his coat to touch the grip of the Sig Sauer.
Something wrong?
The woman didn't reply, but hugged herself tight and kept walking. There had just been the oddest sensation.